let's overlay on top of this COVID-19 issues that are driving some of these numbers. One of the things we're seeing are discrimination on the basis of gender. And it comes out of the impact of COVID-19 on women, particularly caregiving responsibilities. So you see women leaving the workforce in record numbers, permanently leaving the workforce. And many of the reasons why is because they're having to choose between their job and childcare. When you think about what's gone on during the pandemic, you know, women who've tried to, you know, manage and balance, you know, remote learning with their kids and all kinds of other situations, maybe need flexibility in their work schedules, but when they ask for it, then they get retaliated against because of, well, you know, you should be able to do this, and the mere fact that you asked about this, though it may not be an accommodation, if you will, under the ADA kind of standpoint, is something that could be problematic. The EEOC recently reissued their guidelines on caregiver responsibilities, and it's expanded the types of actions that could be considered retaliatory on the basis of gender. So that's something that is worth taking a look at. You can find that at the EEOC's website, www.eeoc.gov. Let's talk about retaliation on all of the kinds of current things that are going on. We have things with people who identify as Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander. All of the anti-hate and anti-Asian hate that's going on in the country. So, you know, people have retaliated against those and accused and blaming people who identify as Anapi for causing the COVID-19 pandemic. So those are some areas for retaliation that employers need to be looking at, because not only is it retaliation, but it also intersects with national origin discrimination or discrimination on the basis of one's ethnicity. LGBTQ+, you know, we have just gone past the 1-year anniversary of the Bostock decision. With all the kinds of current events that you see going on today, retaliation based on gender identity, sexual orientation, transgender status is another area. The other thing I'll point out to you is LGBTQ issues and retaliation are two of the top strategic priorities by the EEOC Chair Charlotte Burrows. So these are going to be areas that the commission is looking at and having heightened focus on the charges that come through the door. Issues with those who identify as Hispanic or Latinx. Obviously, you know, with all of the discourse going on in the public about immigration reform and things of that nature, people are retaliating against people because of that. Here's an example. You might have a Hispanic or Latinx employee that may complain about a discriminatory practice or maybe participate in an investigation. And as a threat, that employer may come back and say, well, you know, I'm going to check your immigration papers, or I'm going to make sure that, you know, you understand that you could be deported. Some of you out there may think people are doing that. Yes, we have seen an increase in the rise of those kind of activities in like the last 2 years. Obviously, people who identify as Black, you know, when you think of Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, and all of those kind of incidents that come along, those are some of the things. Individuals with disabilities, there's been an increase of retaliation against those people. In many instances, because they've asked for a reasonable accommodation under the pandemic guidelines. So those are the kind of things that are kind of driving this. When you look at why, or perhaps maybe some of the underlying reasons why, retaliation charges have increased, particularly during the pandemic. What are protected activities? One of the things that people often forget is we're not only talking about participating in the EEOC complaint process, but reasonably opposing. So people don't think about the opposition part of it. So obviously, everybody knows that participating in a complaint process will always be considered protected activity. But opposing a discriminatory practice based on a reasonable belief is also protected activity. There's a couple of settlements that the EEOC has made in the last year or two that we're going to talk about in a moment that really illustrate the reasonable belief standard and how when somebody is trying to come forward based on a reasonably belief of a discriminatory practice that they find, that is going to be protected activity. So here are some examples, and many of you are familiar with these. A lot of these are no-brainers, obviously taking part in an internal investigation, being a witness in a charge or a complaint, communicating with a supervisor or HR or another member of management. Maybe it's not that person's direct report. That would still be considered protected activity. Answering any kind of questions during an investigation. You know what else is protected activity? And people forget about this. You can have coworker to coworker retaliation. For example, let's say you've got some folks working on the third shift. Perhaps somebody on that shift makes a complaint about the activities going on in that shift. Everybody else on the shift finds out about it, and they start retaliating against that individual. You know, you came forward and you were, you know, being a tattletale or whatever. That kind of activity, coworker to coworker, is still retaliation. And management has a duty to respond to that promptly once they find out that that behavior is going on.